Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three and now sometimes four Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn... Damn it.
Now this is a real Hollywood experience. Food truck outside the office.
I didn't stop because of the audio. I stopped because I got hungry. We have an hour to turn a humble idea into an awesome movie. I'm your host, Freddie Wong.
I Will Campos, and I'm a screenwriter. I'm very proud of that fake cry.
Very goofy.
Crushed it. I'm very happy with that. I'm a
Freddie, as a director, do you have any notes for Will on that cry?
Yeah, less goofy from the Goofy movie and more.
It did kind of get a little...
I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm a writer and director.
And joining us today...
Hi, I'm Beth May. And yep. I am.
She asked.
I'm just happy to be here.
Right.
I'm a writer, actor, and a spoken word poet. And Freddie introduced me. Freddie mentioned me as a friend of the pod.
Yeah,
last
friend of
week,
the podcast.
And I cried. I was so just touched.
So this week's idea comes via Beth, which is. Basically, what was just tearjerker?
Yeah.
That's it. Could you help explain
just the word
that?
Tearjerker. I think I was crying the other day about something you needed to know about me is that I'm like ABC, always be crying. If you've ever met me and then you haven't seen me cry, I feel bad for you. And then two, you haven't really met me. I'll cry at anything. Like,
Last thing you cried at?
Well, I think I mentioned this earlier that I was thinking about the end of Elf the other day.
The end of Elf, the Will Ferrell.
Thinking about it.
I was literally just thinking about it. I was thinking about, you know, when James Caan, like his dad, like he starts singing at the end, it's like the Christmas Carol. I was just like, oh my God, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. And So it's mostly just thinking about things.
What's the hardest you've ever cried in a movie?
Okay, probably Sixth Sense.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I cry like multiple times during Sixth Sense. Very hard. Very violent cry.
So what are the tearjerker moments? And I'm, by the way, now kind of understanding that if we're going by your definition of tearjerker, like, Taken could be a tearjerker.
Honestly,
we've got a wide berth here.
Absolutely, but like sad things in movies don't actually make me cry. Like okay. I was a stoic biatch the first 5 minutes of Up. I was like, whatever,
kid dies.
Yeah, like get on with it. But then like when it's, you know what it is in terms of Save the Cat lingo, it's the theme restated really gets me. It's like later when he opens the book and Up, and it's like, thanks for the adventure. Now go have a new one. Like, oh my God.
So yeah, it's like in Speed Racer, like the moment that always makes me cry in Speed Racer is the theme restated moment where he figures it all out and he dumps the car into fifth gear and takes off and it's like the racing will never change and all that stuff, right? Like, I get it. And I think you've hit on something very crucial, which is I think that is often the tearjerker moment. Like, I think people think of tearjerker moments being like, when the guy you like in the movie dies or whatever. But I think more than that, it is like those moments of like where the truth of the movie is revealed in like a profound way. And often that's expressed by a moment of sacrifice, like, which is why, again, like in like the reason you cry when Bruce Willis dies, spoiler, Bruce Willis dies in Armageddon is it's not just the fact that he dies, it's the fact that the sacrifice represents the growth of the character.
Like I mean, it's really because the sweet words of Aerosmith and that jam comes on.
Okay, I wanna
just the right time.
I wanna just point out a small thing for the listening audience at home is I'm sitting in a new spot, which means I can look over Matt's shoulder. And Matt typed into Google to make sure that he got it right, Aerosmith. Will, how do you think Matt spelled Aerosmith?
I'm gonna have to go with the classic Matt Arnold spelling A-R-R.
Will, you know this man through and through. Matt did just Google Arrow A-R-R-O-W Smith.
Which didn't help me, other than that there is a new, there is a Sinclair Lewis novel I should be reading, it looks like.
Okay, so this one we have, we're kind of like in, we don't have anything that to really grasp onto, except that we're trying to make a movie that will make people cry. Ideally, or, right? If we're successful, the people listening are going
to
be crying.
I think that at the very least, we need to make Beth cry by the end of the episode.
Well,
that
I
seems
mean,
like,
I'm ar- like tears are streaming already.
We already won.
I am soaking wet. I was thinking, like, what if it's not necessarily a sad movie? What if it's about the process of making a tearjerker, or just like something that makes you cry,
or a Bond movie called Tear, where the bad guy's called Tearjerker.
Yeah. James Bond
Tearjerker.
Yeah,
or like a Slenderman paranormal figure called the Tearjerker, and like he steals tears from children.
Jerker is a very strong word
it
for what
hot.
It is describing.
It's hot.
I was just thinking it's like very violent.
Yeah,
like you would think like a movie where it's like, you know, somebody dies of cancer like right before they tell somebody they love them who has Alzheimer's, like that'd be like a tear,
like a cry leaker,
like a cry leaker, then like jerk the tears out.
Okay, here's what I like. I like the idea of doing a horror movie where the monster's called the Tear Jerker.
Yeah.
First, number one, I like then doubling down, calling the movie Tear Jerker.
Yeah.
But then this also has to make the audience, our audience,
you
cry
to,
by
yeah,
the time
yeah,
that
yeah,
they're
yeah.
done watching it.
Well, I mean, if it's an audience of one, if I'm the only one watching it, guaranteed we won already.
So, because to me, like, what's interesting is doing, like, the, like, remember, like, when you saw The Ring, mm-hmm. and then, like, you're kind of creeped out for 7 days afterwards, because it's like, I don't know. I remember when I was a kid and I saw The Ring, I was like, but I saw the video in the movie.
Yeah.
So, like, am I cursed? Am I going to get got by the monster? So, it's like, it's got to be this, what if it's, like, this monster that makes you cry by telling you a sad story, and then it's like, but that means you're his next victim or something. Like, you're
oh
gonna
God.
They're gonna find you completely dehydrated and your eyeballs are gonna be all shriveled up.
Oh, you Ooh. Cry so hard that you dehydrate to death.
What if it's like the decision of whether or not the monster kills you is based on whether you cry?
Like it's you know, almost like a metaphor for toxic masculinity or something. Like,
so it's a movie that tells you shouldn't cry.
No, but it's like no. It's like these tough bros who like don't want to cry in a movie, but then they cry. Yeah, I guess that is. I think that is the opposite of what I would want it to mean.
Well, but like the question,
just reaffirming. Nah, I'm too badass to cry.
It looks like you get to live forever.
Guess what? I'm the final girl in the horror movie, and I won't cry.
Okay, so I do. Okay, so there's this monster called the Tearjerker. What would the Tearjerker do?
show you
those Thai life insurance commercials.
Wait, what?
Wait, have you not seen these Thai life insurance commercials? It is guaranteed you will be a blubbering mess.
I'm really upset about it already.
So the reason why I bring them up, by the way, is just because when I think about Tearjerker, like that's the one that. Those are the ones that come to mind as far as like the most efficient use of time in terms of getting someone to cry.
Yeah, it's like in five minutes they tell a
Less
story.
Less than five.
Yeah, in like a couple minutes, it's like a young girl being brought to school by her weird dad that she doesn't respect. And she's writing a...
Oh my God, I'm just thinking about it right now.
Yeah, and
God.
She's writing a essay about, you know, who's her true hero. And then throughout it, you're seeing that the dad is actually homeless and does all these part-time jobs. And the reason he smells bad is because he just did like the dump. He did work at the dump right before he brings her to school and all this stuff. And then when he finally brings her to school, it's like he finally opens up the note and sees that. As she wrote, "My dad's my hero."
Oh my God.
Because he works so hard and I know he's lonely and he works so hard. And he's just like, oh my God.
So what goes into a story like that, do you think? Like, why? Because again, like you're right.
Yeah,
that it
why
is
does
like,
it work so well?
That's like weaponized.
Well, so there's an interview with one of the ad folks who are behind the Thai Life Insurance commercials, which I think gets at this, because they ask them, in what way do you think reducing your audience to tears will have a positive impact on the brand? And then this guy says, "The audience crying isn't our main objective. However, we want people to appreciate the value of life, which is like their sort of core brand message. So it's not about trying to get that. It's like trying to get, again, to get to Tearjerker, you need to get to just deeper, wholesome truths."
It's interesting, too, because it's like, when people say like you did that like that sh- that like again like when people tell us that VGHS made them cry, when they're saying that, they're trying to say something deeper than "it made me laugh." Like, we all seem to agree that like a genuine laugh is easier than a genuine like tear.
Not for me. You laugh, but I'm crying right now.
Okay.
So are we doing a horror movie called Tearjerker with a monster called Tearjerker?
I would love that, but I'm open to
suggestions. No,
let's go down that road.
So let's go down that road.
Okay,
so we're going down.
All right, I'm a little worried about that road, but let's go down it. Let's just trust in the process.
That's how all horror movies start, Will.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm most interested in chasing down is this. What is a tearjerker moment? So we'll see if I can complete my little subplot in this story.
Will's got his own quest.
I got a little B story.
What's a horror movie that has made you cry?
The Sixth Sense.
Okay,
yeah.
So we were talking about this. So what in The Sixth Sense makes you cry?
Like several times I cry. I wish it was six times, but it's specifically the scene in the car with the kid and then his mom, and she's been so alienated as a mother by her kid's bizarre behavior this entire film. She's like, yikes, how do I deal with my child being this actual freak? And then when she realizes not only that he's telling the truth, but that he's been living with this truth the entire time and still is like this sweet little... So when he said, you went to the place where they buried your mom and you asked her a question, she said the answer was, every day, what did you ask her? And then Toni Collette is like, do I make her proud? And
shit.
Yeah. And so it's the idea that the kid in The Sixth Sense knew her secret the entire time. And that the revelation of the secret is, I mean, I think that's what makes things scary. That's what makes things funny, is if it's a secret that's brought out in that one moment.
Yeah. Because The Sixth Sense is all about things like unfinished business, things unsaid. Right, that people needed to hear, right?
So when I think of tears, it's sort of like a release, like a catharsis, an actual. So I think this definitely needs to be about toxic masculinity and somebody who's some dude that's not.
I'll talk about this for a second, because this is something I feel like I struggled with a lot, both as a young man and as a teenager, but then also my 20s was just I was terrified of crying in front of other men. And then that was something I was really, really afraid of doing. And I think that's something that is kind of passed down as a sort of patriarchal value, the idea that as a man, you are not supposed to cry, that is, you will get ridiculed if you do.
Yeah.
And there's a deep fear there. And again, horror movies being about expressions of our fear.
Oh, interesting.
I think there might be something to play with there.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Especially because like a common reaction from fear is crying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I found in my own life that then I would let, if I was having a problem with someone, I would let that situation go on longer than I should have. If I had a problem with a male friend, I would be afraid that I would get so emotional about it that I would cry in front of him. So then I would just not deal with it. And then you just let it until you can find a way to turn it into anger, right? And then, but then when I get angry, I cry. So it's
and then that leads to the path to the dark side.
Yeah, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, et cetera, et cetera. So I like this. I think this is an intriguing way of going about it.
Everything I'm thinking is it's like some party, or there's frat party, or a kid's not where he's supposed to be, and then people make fun of him and he goes out and he cries and the tearjerker kills him. But I don't know if you want, but I guess the bad guy can be doing the bad thing, because obviously we don't want to be it's good that they were crying.
The bad guy is a metaphor in that case.
Can it be Scream, where it's just two bros who are too scared of crying?
Okay, can I throw, yes. All right, this is, I'll by way of telling my story, I'll also tell you guys how I got over my fear of crying, because I cry in front of you guys all the time.
Yeah,
not on the podcast, but
Will cries every day.
I was supposed to give the best man speech for my friend Chris Hawks, who I've known since we were in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And
he got married in third grade.
Nice. Good joke.
So I was incredibly nervous about this speech, because even writing it, I would start tearing up.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the most high pressure. There's gonna be 150 people at this wedding watching me give
live
this
band
speech. I'm my dad's gonna be there. Like, I want to cry in front of my dad. Like, I was so nervous about it.
Oof.
And then so I wrote the speech, and literally getting up to it, I was just shaking with nerves, pacing Oof. Back and forth outside. And then it comes time to do and then I'm already barely holding it together. And then my dad comes up and sees how nervous I am. And then he starts talking to me about his dad. And I was like, what are you doing? Are you fucking kidding me right now? So anyway, I got up and I got three words into the speech, and then I just started bawling, and I just made this huge spectacle out of myself. But then after the speech, everyone was like, that was the most beautiful speech I've ever heard in my mm-hmm. life. And it was like, it was an okay speech. Like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, it's just like, you know, pretty standard.
Listen, as a writer, Will has the Will has the ability. Hey, listen, it's okay. It's
I went
okay.
for the cheap cries. It wasn't sincere. Yeah.
But it was it was like a transformative experience for me, because like going through that and then like the love I received on the other side of it, there was a catharsis there. Mm. And like it really like I felt unafraid of my emotion, you know, afterwards. Yeah. So like the thought that leapt into my head was like, not to just poach from my own life, like, do you do this as a bachelor party? Do you like, if you're talking about adult men, like, do you do that this is like, or this is like, you know, like,
what about
leading
like,
up to a wedding, leading up to some sort of emotional moment?
Like,
I don't know.
The birth of a child.
Oh, that's interesting, too.
Like,
I mean, you
know, babies are born crying, but I know a lot of guys who say that they only cried when their kid was born or something, and I'm like, that kid is screwed if their father is never going to show any emotion after that point. It's like, well, dad got his tears out when I was born. He's been a cyborg ever since. And I think that as important as it is to cry, it's important to see other people cry. So to bring more characters into it, I think it's like, yikes, this person has never cried. What's their secret?
Like, yeah.
Okay. So let's say you were to do like, again, like classic horror movie kind of stuff. Like you have this cadre of bros, and then you do like, one, like this kid in high school, right? Like he cried, and then all the bros made fun of him, and he got socially ostracized or whatever, right? And now, and some horrible fucked up, I know you, what you did last summer kind of thing happened to him as a result. And, or at least this is the backstory that we think this guy's gonna be the killer, then it turns out to be someone else. But then it's like, it is this bullshit that he's like, you guys all humiliated and ostracized me because I cried, but you're all fucking crybabies too, essentially, right? Like, and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to seek my vengeance on you. Like, and you know, like, and when you cry, I'll be there and I'll be waiting for you. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
Here's a question, which maybe this is a generalization, but have you experienced or seen a situation where a guy cries and then actually is ostracized?
I think the only time I've ever seen that, and like maybe just movies talking, but I can see this scenario is like, it's fathers to sons being like, don't cry when you get hit. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only time I've ever seen a male reinforcing. It's never like your fellow bros being like, psh, idiot, you cried during up. It's always like dad, like, you know, you see that, right? You see that. Because I've seen that. I've seen like some kid like skin their knee or something, and the dad's like, don't cry. You know, like.
So this is going to be a bad dad movie.
It's a bad dad movie.
Oh,
bad dad. Tearjerker, bad dad.
Oh, man.
Bad dad one, tearjerker.
What if it's like the dad is haunted by this tearjerker thing that he has not told his son about.
That's why he doesn't cry.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, okay. I can see that. Like, a guy's haunted by, like, some other people he knew. Like, right? It's like the ghost that killed people in the childhood.
What if his dad, right? Like, let's... The word's a double dad.
Double dad.
Wait,
double
like, dad so dad. Grandfather?
Grandfather. The correct
like,
term...
Like, oh, man.
Granddad's double dad.
The correct term is double dad?
Double dad.
So, but, like, what if, like, his dad, like, when he was a little kid, told him about this, like, it's like a tooth fairy.
Oh, as a way of...
Candyman villain called a tearjerker. If you cry, the tearjerker's gonna come in the night and, you know, molest you or something. I don't know.
Oh my god.
Fucking kill you or whatever. Like the but so like I don't know. But then
but it's
like,
a repressed Yeah.
Okay. Something like that.
So he grew up with this specter of fear.
Yeah. And so he's trying to again
or tear. The specter of
the
tear.
The specter of tear.
That's a poster.
Yeah.
Line.
So okay. All right. That's intriguing to me.
Yeah.
That it's like this. And again, because then what I like is then again it's also a lot of times that is the father trying to protect the son, right?
Yeah.
It's like the idea you don't want your son to get bullied. You don't want your son. You want your son to have grit and grow up strong. So you again like it's like this like this negative emotion that you or that you feel is a negative emotion. You try to get them to suppress it.
And I like the idea that you know the father is trying to protect the son, and yet that sort of wish gets conflated by like, hey, don't cry. Like
Yeah. Because like the tearjerker will find you and he'll.
I want to figure out like how did the tearjerker start? If it's sort of this familial thing that gets passed down, or even if it's not, if it's something that the double dad grandfather heard about and was. Maybe it's like this family is immortal until they cry. No.
Whoa. It's like Highlander, but instead of sword fights, it's like rom-coms and tears.
Oh my
God. I did start thinking like, what's the lore? So like, this is, are we saying this is an actual monster? Or
What? Is it the idea of the monster that's holding them?
Right? Ooh, you know I'm about that. Like that it's, that it's like never the actual thing; it's the idea of a thing.
But then how do people?
And everybody's like, "Your script sucks." I'm like, I really like the idea of it, though.
But people do die in this movie, right?
What if the it's a killer yeah. metaphor? Okay. Okay, no. But okay, so here's what it reminds me of: the Babadook a little bit. Did
yes.
you guys see the Babadook? Like yeah. the Babadook has that incredible again because it is like the monster is a rock solid metaphor, but it also is like a monster.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
As far as an origin story for the dad, could you do that? Like in terms of something scary that happened to the dad, like his brother got killed by the tearjerker.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean?
What if his brother got killed right in front of him, and because the danger was still imminent, he could not cry during that time. Like, he Ooh. Saw his somebody he loved died, but the killer was still in the house, or was still right there, so he couldn't make a noise.
So, because to me, I don't think it's a slasher monster. I don't think there's a monster picking off, like, 20 people over the course of the movie.
Yeah.
Again, to the point of the Babadook, like, the Babadook is, like, a very contained domestic story, and this is what this feels like. So here's what I was going to say, is you do... This guy, imagine this, right? Mm-hmm. This guy's brother died when he was a little kid, and he had this. You remember seeing the tearjerker come to life and murder his kid brother, mm-hmm. right? And we're kind of like, yo, maybe it was your abusive father who got drunk one night and killed your brother, right? Like, that's kind of the. But you do like the. Here's what I was going to say. He thinks the tearjerker is this like external thing that is going to come into the house and murder his son.
Yeah.
But really, the tearjerker is like it possesses you. Do you know what I mean? Like he doesn't realize he's being taken over by the tearjerker and he's gonna kill his son. Again, like the Babadook. Like the Babadook fucks with the mom and then possesses her at one point.
I mean,
like
he doesn't really fuck with her. He's like haunts her.
Yeah, I mean like he's messing with her. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like
he messes her, you know. Just messes around.
Yeah, she's not cheating on her dead husband with the Babadook. It's not
I didn't mean he fuck. I didn't mean they have sex. I mean he messes her he's messing with her mind. Yeah, okay.
Well, because what I like about that is that tears are the manifestation of sadness. And it's like if you can't manifest tears, you manifest this other like horrific thing.
Tear jerker.
It's this hidden thing. So imagine this, and again, there's also like a certain, there's like a coming of age kind of thing where it's like a little boy is allowed to cry, but at a certain age, it's like, all right, it's time for you to to knock this off, right? Mm. So if you were to do like this kid and let's say the pet dog has run away or the pet dog has died or a goldfish or something like that. Like, some childhood trauma has visited upon the kid and the kid cries about it and it's bothering the dad. Mm-hmm. And we're like, why is the dad so like agitated about this? But then like the next day the dog's like mutilated corpse shows up on the front doorstep and there's like a, you know, like the symbol of the tearjerker written in blood or something like that. And he's like, oh shit, this fucking thing is coming for you.
So wait, the dog was already dead and then it go ahead.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That was as far as I got. You could bear with me. You could do the opening is like they're burying the dog in the backyard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the kid is upset about it and he's sad and, you know, like he's not dealing. And again, the dad's like, all right, you've had your cries, but it's time to be a big boy now. And like, you know, you got to get your shit together, right?
Yeah.
But then you would do, the next day, like the dug up corpse of the dog is like nailed to the front of the house or something
Or he just thinks he sees the dog. It'll like haunt you what you cried about.
Yeah, I was thinking the idea of the kid running, like, or if the dog was lost, like I just imagine a scene of like the kid running and like the dad's like, look, the dog's gone, just deal with it. Mm-hmm. And the kid goes looking for it and he's like lost in the woods looking for his dog and he's got tears in his eyes and then you see like moving, like, oh, is that his dog or is it it's the tearjerker and it comes after the kid or something.
Something like that. Yeah, that's intriguing though.
Okay, so so I'm on the same page. I'm trying to figure. So what we're saying is that what is the tearjerker? It is the manifestation of...
It's a metaphor. I don't know.
I like the idea of this, like, right, you're starting your movie and you have, like, this tragic... It's like there's this tragic thing that happened in the manor, you know, where the family lives and nobody talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is manifested in, you know, this, like...
Ooh, spoilers for Crimson Peak. The ghost is trying to warn her to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a classic ghost thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, do you think the ghost is the bad guy and the ghost was just trying to scare you for your own good? The tearjerker, the spectral thing that he sees, is the ghost of the dead brother trying to warn the
kid. Whoa, I like that.
And then you do your tearjerker moment at the end is between the fucking dad and his dead brother.
Ooh.
And a reconciliation there.
Okay, so, I could see something like, okay. because you could do something where this would this is like kind of like Crazy Rich Asians, where they're introduced to the family and they don't know they're rich. It is like a Crimson Peak thing.
Damn,
where
you
like,
tell me you were the Prince Henry of murder.
Not crying.
People.
No, but it is like, right, if this was like, if this, sorry, I also just watch a lot of like fucking British, like, you know, Jane Austen shit, but this would be like the classic, this would be like, go marry, like, they meet, go meet the family. And the, and like, you don't, it's this mystery, you go to the manor and like, it's, they just, they seem normal, but there's something wrong about them. And over time, you realize like, they don't cry, they don't show any emotion in this house, and the son is like, you know, bringing, and then they, it's like this, because you have an outsider coming into this family, and then of course it's this history, it's this, nobody's ever cried since blank happened.
What if
that
the
time.
The kid is being raised by a stepdad, and so he's like with his mom's side of the family, and then he goes and visits his biological dad who is haunted by this, and so it's like if his his stepdad cried or something. His stepdad died or something. Like so there's like some sort of external punishment that's brought about by visiting his dad's side of the family or something.
I mean, I like the idea of an outsider coming into
the
like,
situation.
Because the whole, because like, it feels like if people know not to cry, then it'd be right. It's this family that's like living this household that doesn't cry anymore. They don't feel anything.
I don't know that you need to make it that like, imagine, I don't know.
Okay. What's the,
because my thought would be like, again, it's from this kid's perspective, right? And it's like the, I guess to me it's like if you were to do like, again, like if you were to start with like, you got this kid, you've got the funeral, or you know, for the dog, or again, like the dog goes missing and the kid's looking for it. Like I like that. I like this catalyst of like finding out about the tearjerker somehow. And then again, like the idea that the tearjerker is this force that is haunting you, right? And that is, you know,
if the tearjerker, I mean, what I think about, like, things like the Babadook or even the monster that was in, like, that Lights Out movie, it's that it exists primarily for this family that is the central family, but that it technically could exist elsewhere. If this kid hears about the tearjerker from, like, other kids with bad dads, like, and then one of those kids dies, it, you know, it's an introduction to what the tearjerker is and why his father won't talk about it, but...
Well,
what I think, Matt, when you asked like what the tearjerker wants or represents, I think it's like secrets or
Okay,
I'm trying to think of, I guess what I need to latch onto is I'm trying to think of like what's the, like how does this start, like what's the turning point where the dad's like, where there's like this thing comes out from the family.
What is the sin, essentially?
Yeah,
the sin.
Like, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out
the alien
how,
onto the ship. Yeah. Okay.
Like, what is it in The Sixth Sense?
What I love about The Sixth Sense, it explains nothing. He's meeting with the kid. Like Bruce Willis is meeting with the kid for the first time. And, I mean, we'd seen the like him getting shot, but it just moves forward. And
the
exciting
incident is his death, so we're seeing from the point of the ghost. So it's, spoiler alert, so we're seeing it from the point of view of the ghost or whatever.
Okay, so yes. I mean, yeah. It feels like, again, my intuitively, my logic is telling me like it would be like the kid cries when he's not supposed to cry, and now the tearjerker's coming to kill him. Do you know what I mean? Like, that seems like that would be the thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, his dad says, don't fucking cry, and the kid can't help himself and cries. And
what about, like, grandpa's funeral, and dad is stoic? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, at least it's just some family-related thing so you can tie to the
What line. If when we meet this kid, he's never cried, allegedly? Like, he's been raised since birth to not cry, and then the inciting incident is whatever makes him cry. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of...
like, you meet this kid who's already been living in this fear.
Feels very... I'm trying to just think of, like, other... Because it's, like, very loss of innocence. Like, this usually... I mean, right, like, arguably most, like, horror movies are also, like, prepubescent into puberty, like, metaphors. Like, so this does feel like... I was trying to think of what... As you come into this movie, it's, like, this kid...
What about this? It's a curse, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the curse gets passed on if your kid sees you cry.
Okay.
So bear with me. Okay. Like, So... I don't know exactly how this works, but it would be like the moment. It's not the kid's moment, right? Yeah, like, kids are going to cry. The moment is the kid sees the dad cry.
Ooh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's like, even deeper than the, like, I don't cry thing is like the I've never seen my father cry thing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, that is like one of those classic, like, paternal figure taboo moments. Like, and so, like, I don't know. Like, is there something there?
So you're
saying
that once you've seen your father cry, it haunts you. It's not that, like, you have to worry about your kids, because, you know, we're not. not having like a 12-year-old kid with a
well,
son.
Well, exactly.
Like,
he doesn't have a son yet. Okay, because yeah, I can see that as a beginning of like.
Well, so the idea is that like now the kid is being haunted.
Just yeah, because also that moment of like opening, like the kid opening, like, okay, so there's like a personal thing. Like, I remember this story when, like when my grandfather was dying, my dad drove to go see them. They were like 2 hours away. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing my mom get a phone call and it was being told that my grandpa had passed. Mm-hmm. And I knew, I did the calculation, I knew my dad hadn't gotten there yet. So I knew my dad didn't get there in time for him to see him. And I was sitting there and it was like the first time I saw like my mom really cry. Mm-hmm. And so like imagining that like sad moment, but then that moment where like you're opening the door and he sees his dad cry because he gets
and
the
his
call.
Dad screams at
and
him.
He turns and sees him and you see the tears in his eyes and then he locks eyes with his kid. Mm-hmm. And then he gets furious.
Yeah.
Like he flips out and we're like, oh, but it's like, it's not that he's upset that his kid saw him crying.
He's like, I just passed the curse
on
my child.
You. It is this devastating moment where like, yeah, because it is. I think that's a defining moment for any kid is like the first time you see your parents cry.
Okay,
right? Because they feel it's like the first time they're not superhuman.
Yeah,
like
they're
humans.
So okay, that's really interesting because then I like that catalyst, right? Because it was like this: his dad was haunted by the tearjerker, right? Mm-hmm. And then like he's been haunted by the tearjerker, and it's like the last thing he wanted to do was pass it on to his son, so he's never cried in front of his son.
So I think then it becomes about like the ultimate going toward forgiveness. Like how do I forgive either my dad for passing this on to me, or how do I as a parent like forgive myself for this being like part of our family?
Yeah.
It's like, how do you reconcile with this?
Yeah.
Like this like suppressed emotion. Like,
and how did this start? Because again, you don't want the lesson to be like, you don't cry in front of your kids. So
okay,
like,
what's
the pain that hasn't been...
Give me a second, because I'm just sort of like I definitely see like a first act kind of thing. So if this is your kind of catalyst, right, is the dad crying in front of his son. And then you would do the like, now it's time for the dad to give the real speech to the son about like, you're too old to cry anymore. Like, you don't cry, right? And then your next sort of story point is the son cries.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, now the tearjerker is coming for the son.
Yeah.
Right? Like the
what if that's just the prologue and then we skip ahead to when the son has a kid? What if we go through like 7 generations?
100 years of solitude meets the 6th
limited
sense.
Series, one dad per episode.
Dadthology, if you will.
Like, sad dads.
Yeah, so if you start with like what will be established as the main dad seeing his father cry.
Alpha dad.
And then you flash forward like 10, 20 years, and then that guy has a kid. And so it's about like we already know the lore,
but it's got to be like, I mean, like, but I think to Matt's point, like, is it like, oh, is it a witch's curse? Like, what is the thing
When I say, like, what's the curse, it's actually more like, what is this original sin that the family has not let go of, right?
Okay,
like,
Well, I like the idea of, like, the curse being born out of something. Because, like, you are born crying.
Yeah.
Born crying is the title of my memoir.
It feels like it's got to have something to do with the grandfather, right? And so we're saying that, and you know, I'm also like, what do you, because again, like the idea of like, again, like this ghost of the dead uncle or whatever.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do like that.
Intriguing.
It seems more of like a tangible thing.
So how did the uncle, what's the ghost, the dead uncle, remind me.
So the idea there I had was more or less that the grandfather was an abusive alcoholic or something like that, and was angry at his son for crying one day and took it way too far,
hit him too
and
hard,
killed
and
him.
Fell and,
and then blamed it on the tearjerker, right?
Or like that the other brother watched it and like couldn't cry because he was in the same room and like had to,
And then it was like so there's some kind of like some incident there, right? What it reminds me of is actually there's a Stephen King story called The Library Policeman, which is the main character is this guy who is trying to figure out, like, the monster ultimately winds up being like a fear vampire who's preying on people's fears and like draining. It's kind of like the monster in It. But then like through the story, the guy is also uncorking this repressed memory from his childhood where he was sexually assaulted by like an adult.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, and that's the fear that the fear monster is preying on in him. Mm-hmm. So it's some like a psychological tulpa or something like that. Like, again, like, so like the idea that
I think it needs to be like pulling a different dynamic of fear out of each of its victims too. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we cry because we're scared. We cry because we're happy. We cry because it's just, just because we're Beth.
But they're all equally about being weak.
Yes.
Tears are weak. No, okay.
Guilty.
So like to the.
Oh, I got it. He again. The dad's memory is this crazy memory where with the tearjerker.
Yeah, it can
right?
be a wrong memory.
Yeah.
And he remembers the tearjerker coming and murdering his brother.
Yeah, but
right?
it was his dad.
But it was his dad.
Yes.
Right. And it's because his dad again. It would almost be a similar thing. Like the dad felt humiliated in front of the kid because he the dad got fired and got drunk and the kid saw him crying and he blew up and beat the shit out of him.
And the kid was crying too because he's like, oh, dad's lost his job.
Yeah, it was something like that. So the
oh, I think I know.
So but here
that's so toxic masculinity passed down from I
love it. Here would be the thing. The kid has internalized this story as the tearjerker came and murdered his brother, right? And he has never cried since. And this is maybe what his dad told him after.
Yeah.
So give me a sec.
Yeah.
So then you do the dad sees the kid. The kid sees his dad crying, right? And the dad legitimately believes he's haunted by this curse of the tearjerker, right?
Yeah.
And so then now that he's worried that the tearjerker is going to pass on to his son, right? Mm-hmm. So then here's what's really going on, though. When this spectral force starts showing up, it is the ghost of the brother trying to warn the kid and warn the father that he is turning into this monster who's going to wind up killing his son.
Mm. And then the reconciliation, I think, is between the brother and dad. And it's really like, because I think internally, right, like deep down, as a kid, he remembers this monster came and killed his brother. But deep down, he probably feels guilty. If he's the older brother, he feels guilty for not protecting his brother from
his
dad.
Little brother.
It's his brother forgiving him.
Well, I think you would have a moment if you're going to go, it's like, if double dad is still alive, the moment is actually the dad going to double dad.
Oh,
and be like,
shit.
You killed my brother.
Oh,
because I think it's not, I don't think it's just like one time event. I think it's also the
and
dad.
And the grandfather's the one who fucking tells the kid about the tearjerker.
Yes.
And scares
because,
the shit out
because
of the kid.
Because it's also the dad can't accept that he killed his child.
Yeah.
So he created that story of the tearjerker and he kept up with it.
So then anytime he
saw his kid crying, he's like, you don't need to cry. You remember what happened to your brother when you cry.
Yeah.
And because, again, so he taught, in order to deal with the remorse of killing one of his sons, he ingrained in his other son this lie, this idea that it was this tearjerker that comes after you when you cry. And so he just passed this toxic idea on in order to, because he couldn't deal with his own sin.
Yeah.
Which was killing
his son. What if it's like, you know, it is the ghost of the brother, but if the grandfather dying is like this lead-in, you worry that it's the ghost of the grandfather, or do we want it to not be like?
I like the grandfather because I think what even darker and scarier is this kid is trying to solve this tearjerker, and we could do something that there is some spectral, like we can actually do, but like the kid coming to the realization and learning that his
about
grandfather
the family secret,
killed his uncle, and then his dad's going to have to deal with this, and then you have that moment where the dad doesn't believe it and is getting right. Then you would have the cycle of abuse. He's telling, he's like, "Dad, like there is no tearjerker. Your dad killed your brother." Your dad, he's like, "Don't talk about my dad that way. He's about to hit his own kid."
Yeah,
you know, and you realize like this is like.
Why did I just say yeah? Like that was.
Yeah.
He's about
Fuck
to hit his own
Fuck
kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that I think the grandfather actually being alive adds like an intriguing element to it because like it also gives you that character that has a turn over the course of the story. Like the grandfather seems like the lovable, kind, charming, you know, kind of kooky guy, but who tells with like the, you know, sort of like miss, you know, like often,
he also starts as the one who feels the most haunted. He remembers the tearjerker taking his, you know, his favorite and eldest son or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're
youngest.
Like,
it'd be the youngest, I think.
Yeah.
Or the youngest.
Yeah.
And then it's the realization like, he killed his kid.
Well, I feel like it shouldn't be highlighted as the grandfather sort of forgiving himself or becoming a better person, but because I imagine like the grandfather trying to give his grandson like a drink.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this makes everybody lighten up and stuff, but really that's the thing that's like that's haunting him.
It would be like your climactic last action scene is a grandfather's gonna murder this little kid because the kid fucking
found
the
truth.
Yeah.
Do you
still
know what I mean?
Hang on to he doesn't yeah, he's still hanging on to the lie.
Poindexter's like statue of limitations, Seth, you can still go to jail, Gramps.
I'm gonna have to kill you.
And then you got the ghost of the brother in there.
And you know what, when I kill you? Nobody's even gonna cry about.
Oh shit!
That's your trailer line. In the trailer, you give away the whole movie. The grandpa did it, but there's this cool line he says.
I think that the grandfather should be very periphery, though. I think it should primarily be about the father and son.
Absolutely.
And like the hauntedness of the father.
I think you find out about it, but
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's like, it's spoilers, Minority Report spoilers. It's like Max von Sydow in Minority Report.
Right.
Yes. You remember? Like, it's like the, like, oh, he's a kindly old guy who likes Tom Cruise. I'm your friendly mentor character. And then he gets caught in that stupid Murder She Wrote twist where she's like, I never said it was a murder.
Yeah.
And then he's like, uh-oh.
I never said she drowned.
Whatever it was.
I never said she drowned.
Oops.
Oh, Max.
That's a good movie.
We can't cast Max von Sydow as the grandpa or everyone will smell
it. Is there a mom in this movie?
It's got to be Liam Neeson as the grandpa, guys.
I thought you said Liam Neeson as the mom.
I thought that too. It's like, interesting.
Interesting choice. Continue.
Liam Neeson.
Because we have three generations of men. Are there any women?
Well, it's like when a woman cries, it's so normal that it's considered like a weakness that we are born with. Like, like when a guy cries in a movie, it's like, oh man, that must have been really touching. Yeah. Whoa, man. And then when I'm crying at a board meeting, when I'm crying at the grocery store, suddenly I'm weak. When I'm checking out with a bar of Kit Kat, and then I'm crying a little bit about it, they're like, what's wrong? I'm like, what?
Kit Kats are nice. You share with everybody. Isn't that beautiful?
It is like this bullshit double blind because it's like men aren't supposed to cry, and then when a guy cries, it's like, wow, he was so in touch with his emotions. What a man. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like that kind of thing. Whereas again, it's like with a woman, it's just shitty either way, right? Like, yeah.
it's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
To that point, I would think that, okay, so just to I think where a female character comes into the movie is, I think, kind of bring it back down to the level of this boy uncorking this mystery, right?
Yeah.
And then he's being haunted by this ghost. He thinks it's the tearjerker. He's trying to figure out what's going on. He thinks the tearjerker saw him cry over his pet goldfish, and now tearjerkers come to kill him. I feel like there would be a female character, whether it's his sister or whether it's his mom or a friend from school, who he is going through that process of working through that with. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's going to be... He's not just doing this all on his own, right? And how does this, like, because this gets into, like, kind of essentially my next question is, like, all right, I think all that stuff is great. What is, like, the meat and potatoes in the middle of this movie? Like, your spook-em-ups and stuff like that.
Well, I guess
it feels like there's a certain degree, so just to speak to that, because when you were describing it, it feels like there's a certain degree of him, like, investigating the newspaper and, like, seeing, like, the story of the kid dying and kind of getting to the truth of it and digging up going to the old abandoned hospital in the woods where the patient records were still are. And, like, he died of blunt force trauma, right? Like, yeah, him piecing together the crime is certainly part of it, right? And that's, I feel like you see that a lot, the sort of investigatory thing, and then the investigation takes the main characters to creepy places.
What if there's also, like, could you do a character who's, because again, like, if he thinks it's this monster, right, but it's like this kind of spectral, or like he thinks it's like he doesn't know it's a ghost yet, but like a demon or something like that. Could you do, he goes to, okay, so that, like, my first thought would be, like, you have the youth group minister at his Presbyterian church, right? Is this woman, and she sees that he's stressed out, and he's like, "Can I tell you a secret? Is the fucking the tearjerker's coming after me," or something like that. And then you do, like, she, like, if you're gonna do, like, she's trying to help him figure out what's going on, or, like, again, I was like, do you do, like, a clairvoyant or, like, a spirit medium or something like that? I don't know.
What,
like,
if a therapist? Like, hey, not crying, like
the school therapist or something like that.
Yeah, a school counselor.
That could be interesting, yeah. Especially if you're going to do, like, there was, like, something traumatic. If something traumatic happened at the school, what he cried over. Like, again, like, a teacher died or something. So they hire a grief counselor, and she comes to the school, and, like, that's how he meets this person who's like, wait a second, something weird's going on with this kid.
Did
right?
his mom? Okay, I guess my question, yes, I like all that. I think I'm still thinking... when I meant, like, female characters, like, we can have female characters, it's more like, what is going on with the women in this family? What you actually don't want is just like, oh, the mom is the nice one who's just naive and doesn't realize what's going on. It's like, she clearly knows. I think, like, it's like, there, you know, she's abused in her own right, maybe or maybe not, but, like, what's, like, you know, we have three generations. Is there a grandmother still alive? Does he have a mom? Like, so, like, or are they just not in the picture?
Realistically, speaking as a woman, I would have left all of these men a long time ago. So it's realistic for me to not have women, but...
You could do the mom left, but then that's the question. You're painting that the mom left and the dad...
I think the grandmother left. That's what I was like.
I totally buy the grandmother left.
You could do...
I think the grandmother could be out of the picture. I think it's the mom is my big question.
It could be the parents are divorced, and then you're kind of time-framed for the story. story is his dad's week, or like the visitation is he's spending a week with his dad.
Yeah, I like that.
Do you know what I mean? And then so it's like the end.
Very
again,
productive
it's like,
week. He uncovered the whole
he
secret
blows
of the family.
The whole lid off this. Yeah,
in just one week. This kid's a real Encyclopedia Brown.
You might say that it's been 1 week since you
lied to me about your family
since
trauma.
Your dad murdered your brother.
1 week since you cried at me.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. That's cool. Okay, yeah, I could see that.
15 minutes left.
Okay, oh so this kid. Right. Okay, so this kid comes to his dad.
And his mom's like, "Hey, if you need to talk to me about anything, or like if you like your dad's, I know your dad's not the most emotional man. Yeah. He's more of a physical being."
Yeah. your dad is was a physical being. Thanks, mom.
Too much information, mom. But thanks.
Something else that could be like a scary trigger point for the kid would be like the kid at some point, like if the kid is starting to not feel safe, he tells the dad, like, "I want to go back to mom's."
Yes.
And like that is this psychic wound to the dad that starts to bring the monster out. Do you know what I mean? Like the something, you know what I mean? Like that it is
He gets so scared that he starts crying a little bit, like, "Hey, I want to go back to mom's." And like he's so mad at that, like he kicks a lamp or something, and suddenly you realize the tearjerker is real. And it's
It's like
you do that thing where then the nice grandpa, the dad walks off, and the nice grandpa's like, "Hey, you know, your dad didn't mean that. He's just worried about you because have you heard of the tearjerker?"
You know?
It's like you start telling the kid the story.
It's like, again, it's like the classic thing is like the kid like sneaks in to call his mom.
Yeah.
And then like the phone gets yanked out of his hand or something like that. He's like, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? Because the dad is worried like the kid's just going to go cry to the mom and then the tearjerker's going to come get him. Do you know what I mean? So it's like the dad is like both this complicated, like both scary but caring character. Do you know what I mean? Like it's almost like a Rosemary's Baby kind of vibe, you know, like in terms of like that kind of slow burn kind of horror thriller thing.
So like the kid, okay, so you start and like the mom's listening to like a good audiobook and she's crying and the kid's like, "Mom, you cry too much. I can't wait to hang out with my cool dad." And she's like, "You know what? I think by the end of this movie, you're going to feel a little differently." And then at the end, when the kid figures it out and the mom picks it up, he's like, "How was your week with dad?" He's like, "You know what, mom? You were right. I think it's cool to cry."
I'm just envisioning a scene where it's like the dad is so enraged and scary because he's like becoming the imminent risk of him becoming the tearjerker, quote unquote, that he has like this monologue to the kid, like, "What are you gonna do? You're gonna fucking cry to mom." Can I say fuck? You're gonna fucking cry mommy about it, and like, yeah, go ahead, call mom, see what she says, and then he
dials her for her. He dials it for her, and like puts in the ears, like, tell her your little
star
baby.
67's it.
Okay, so yeah, that's really good. I like that a lot. And I think that you also, there's an interesting thing to play with the kid where like if you're going to do the kid starts clamping down on his emotions, do you know what I mean? Like the kid starts becoming very cold. And then the character that you have to show that in contrast with is, again, whether it's the youth group minister or the friend from school or whatever, like he goes from being this like sensitive kid to being this like shut
it
down.
Seems like the way to go. Seems like the way to go about this might be, I mean, I hate to fridge it, but like, is it mom dies and he has to live with dad, and dad is like, "You don't get to cry about mom." So yeah,
that feels so unreal. That feels so like, I actually like the
I feel like this
the
is
visitation.
Weekend.
Thing,
I like the weekend thing because there's even I like that this kid something that happens. It's actually more like something that happens means that. It's right from another point of view, not the point of view that you're seeing from the movie, but it's more like because these two dad and double dad didn't have their complete control over this kid, he's been off with the mom. When he comes there over this weekend, this kid's gonna unravel their psychological walls, right? It's like the grandfather lied to the, because it's also like deep down the dad knows what happened, right?
Deep
to the point where probably as it starts unraveling and the grandpa like realizes this kid's gonna figure out what really happened, he's gonna be like, "You realize like you're responsible for your brother's death too. Do you want that to come out? Do you want people to know you're responsible for your brother's death? Like we both did, you know?" It's like your
kid.
We
need to kill this kid.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's going to be about kill kid. They're going to scare him, right? Scare him straight. Make him so he doesn't care.
I want to walk this into like going into like a structural kind of thing. Yeah. Like the, if you're going to, okay. So I like the beginning, the kid gets dropped off by his mom. The mom is nervous letting him live with the, you know, like the dad and the grandpa for a weekend. Yeah. But it's like, that's the breaks, right? And
then you could even do, by the way, it's because you don't suddenly have a week. It could be the mom has some, she's going on a business trip or something.
She has her own family emergency or something like that.
She's worried about it, but it's like the longest this kid's, it's like a week. Usually his dad sees the kid like every 2 months for like a day or something.
Yeah. So he's going to his dad's house. I like that. I think this is the same house that This is the childhood home.
Yeah.
Which is why it's haunted by the ghost of the uncle. Yes. So then you would do that. Again, like you're sort of inciting incident as he sees his dad crying. And then the dad screams at him.
Yeah.
You do the, he then cries after being told by his dad, you can't cry. And again, hearing about the tearjerker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he hasn't heard about the tearjerker yet, but then he cries over something. We got to figure it out. But so that's like, and essentially now then it's like you have, he's starting to get haunted in the house, right? Like shit's fucking with him. Like he's getting like, again, like you're. Spook him up sequences.
Finds a diary that's just like, don't cry over and over again.
So
that's
he's,
like a trailer moment.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck is going on, right? Like, he's starting, and then the grandpa is like, the tearjerker must be after you, right? Like, and he's like, oh shit. Like, so he's trying to figure out what's up with this tearjerker, how I can stop it, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And we should figure out what that is. Like, if he's got some thing that he's supposed to do to show the tearjerker that he's like a real man who doesn't cry at anything. Like, maybe he has to, again, it's like the tearjerker wants him to, like, you know, like, to kill his dog or something like that. Like, you know, like the tearjerker wants him to do an act, commit an act of violence and not cry about it as penance, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, you could have a relationship with, again, I almost like it being like a, like if you're going to do like, it's a girl who lives next door or whatever, and she's got like a Ouija board or something like that. Like, you know, like they start, you know, poking around like, you know, with ghost stuff.
Or and what if she's the only one who knows about the crime, like the crime element?
Oh,
like,
yeah, because
she's like, I heard somebody was murdered in that house. And he's like, no, my grandpa and his brother were just hanging out.
Yeah, then this spooky monster came in or whatever. Yeah. The that's kind of intriguing though.
Yeah.
Like, so then you do essentially, I think you're, if you're gonna do a five act structure, this is like the media. Oh, I got it.
Okay,
you do okay, so your third act, you're building, he's trying to figure out this mystery, he's trying to figure out there's someone to stop the tearjerker, he's getting scared, and it's really it's the ghost of the brother trying to tell him, like, get the fuck out of this house, dude, like, this is a powder keg.
Yeah,
you would do, he and the girl are starting to snoop around and figure shit out, and then he gets this message from the tearjerker that's like, you have to kill something or you have to hurt something to show me that you're a real man, essentially, right? And what he wants him to do is not
like,
kill...
hurt something to feel better.
Hurt something, you know, should show me anger. So he wants the kid to push the girl away. Do you know what I mean? Like, never speak to that girl again. And
because she's getting too close.
But it's really the grandfather this time realizing that the two kids are getting too close to the truth. But we don't know that yet. But so then the kid, thinking he's doing the right thing to stop the curse, like, you know, pushes the girl at school, and then she won't talk to him anymore. And like, he's again becoming a little monster like his father and grandfather, and he thinks he's safe now.
And then he's all alone and nobody can see him cry, but he still doesn't cry.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Like, he's all alone, and he's like slapping himself in the face or whatever, trying not to cry because he feels so bad about what he did to the girl. He can see her light on in the window across the street. But then you do, despite that, now the haunting is coming full force, right? Because he didn't actually... It was the grandfather, not the tearjerker. So then your fourth act is this shit spiraling out of control, leading to him discovering the dark, horrible truth, which was that there was no tearjerker. His grandfather murdered his brother, murdered his son.
Yeah. So there is an actual ghost of this.
Yes, the ghost.
So
of
I
the
feel
brother.
Like the ghost is going to start getting, if the kid starts becoming a monster, the ghost starts turning on him because he doesn't want the cycle to continue. The ghost actually goes from a warning to like, at a certain point, the ghost is almost like, getting scared that the kid's becoming this violent.
Like he's angered the ghost.
I was just thinking, I don't know if this exactly does work, but I like the idea of you're saying that if the town thinks the house is haunted because there's like, you know, ghoulish, spooky stuff at night, you find out it's actually the grandfather walks around the house at night crying or something. Like
he walks around the city weeping and wailing in a new spot every night.
Because it is like, and it's a relation. It's like he is destroyed. Like this man has nothing left or something like that. Just about.
Yeah, I like that. Like you just hear crying out of the
house. Out of the house, and they're like, it's the tearjerker.
And it was like, does Beth May live there?
It's the unearthly sound.
Beth is watching Armageddon again.
Could you not watch Armageddon that night?
That's really cool. I like that. And then I think, so he discovers the horrible truth. And then, the fifth act is the grandfather's trying to murder him. You know, like the girl across the street discovers the newsreel that's like, oh my God. And then, you know, like he's trying to get to her house and like, you know, get her help or whatever. And then like, you know, like you have the moment with the dad and like, you know, the dad having to stop the grandfather and then the reconciliation with the curse is finally lifted. The curse is broken.
Yeah.
And then the dad has to sort of like apologize for keeping this from him or for not, like there just needs to be a like, big cry moment where somebody says, I forgive you, and that's all I need. And this entire thing is like...
It's the ghost of the brother saying, I forgive you to
dad.
You know what I mean? It's the dad... Because, again, they've lifted the curse, right? Because they've stopped... They killed the grandfather.
Yeah.
They've stopped... They're not killed, but whatever. He stands up to his grandfather, right?
Yeah.
And he protects his son by being emotional.
Yes.
And by showing his emotion, you get... It's like, I mean, nothing fucking gets people weeping like a goodbye moment with a ghost,
yeah,
right?
It's the dad.
It's the dad and his brother.
The brother is saying, I forgive you, to the... Again,
telling the dad it's okay to cry. Like,
yeah,
you know,
and,
yeah,
the,
like,
yes, and the dad
you.
Blames
yeah.
himself.
Oh, man.
Like, I didn't do something. I didn't stop dad from hurting you. Yeah. And, like, I didn't believe it. Like, I lived this lie, and it's like, it's not your fault, man. You were just a kid. Like, dad abused you. Like, it's
yeah,
not
yeah,
your
yeah.
fault.
Like, it's okay to cry.
Yeah, it's okay
like
to
I
cry.
Mean, like when E.T. is like, "I'll be right here." Like
yeah.
it that moment, except touching, you know, the tear ducts. Like,
yeah.
"I'll be right here."
And then you get this is your second cry moment.
Okay, yeah.
you think
Ooh,
that's
double
the cry moment,
a double cry.
And then you get the resolution at the end mm-hmm. when the mom comes
yep,
to pick him up, and then you get his goodbye moment to his dad, and it's
yeah.
like that thing where he runs up to hug the dad, and then you get this tender moment between a father and a son, the first tender moment they've had with each other.
It's literally as he's driving away, he looks behind him and his dad's waving and has tears in his eyes and saying goodbye. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And his mom's like, "How was the week?"
Yeah, how was the week?
He just starts sobbing.
And then she's like,
and then she, and then she
"Oh,
goes,
that's
stares,
okay. Why don't you tell me about
and then
it?
She
we'll get
stares
some
straight ahead. She says, "Good."
And then you see the ghost of the grandfather in the backseat. Oh, no,
she was working with him.
And then there's like this whole other like maternal side for the sequel.
Tearjerker 2, Mommy Issues.
Oh, man.
You've seen Bad Dads. Now I'm here for Mommy Issues. Okay.
I think that's a movie,
it's
guys.
It's got a neat little horror movie. The biggest problem with it is that there is no sequel potential. Like, if you look at all these horror movies, it's always like, the bad guy's still alive out there, maybe. So
okay,
we did resolve this.
Have you seen Lights Out, where it's like... the solution is suicide to
Wait,
like this
what?
Like,
really?
I swear Whoa. Like we could talk about this off mic because I will cry, but like I've been crying the whole time. I know if you're listening to the podcast you can't see, but I'm just drenched in tears right now. Yeah, but there are awful solutions to horror movies, and that's okay. There's still great horror movies.
That's true.
You can always
horror
do
movies
sequel.
Can get
By
away
way,
with that.
If they can come up with I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, you can always do a sequel to a horror movie. Like it's just you just figure it out. If this movie does well enough, we'll
okay,
find a way
what,
to make
a sequel with the girl that he pushed away. Like, why?
Oh, because he passed on. Yeah, we didn't get that. It's like he passed on his toxic
masculinity
to her. And she's like, I don't deal with boys pushing me or something.
Tearjerker 2, Chopping Onions. I don't know what that means.
All right.
I think right, we
cool.
got a little neat little horror
to
movie.
To cry for.
oh, shit. Yeah. There you go. A horror movie to cry
Holy
for.
Shit.
And wait, on the billboards, on the 405, it'll just say, the word laugh will be crossed out and be like, you'll cry. You'll laugh. You'll cry,
then you'll die.
Yeah.
The billboards are all kind of like blurry and you can't really see them. And it's like, you can't read this because there's already tears in your eyes. Like, that's a weird.
Pull over right now.
Sort of a weird campaign. Together, we put a lot of the Highway Safety Institute. We did a whole side gig with them. Yeah, a weird campaign for this movie. But cool. I think we got ourselves a little thing. We'll listen to the trailer right after this.
Pop Breaker Panel, we have just 30 seconds to prove to Max Fun listeners that we know what the F we're talking about when it comes to pop culture. All right, you guys, let's go. Famous Chris's.
Walken.
Christofferson. Hemsworth.
Karen, what's the most iconic lesbian snack?
The wings at Hooters.
The answer is fried green tomatoes. Margaret, what is the Marvel Cinematic Universe missing?
My interest.
Winter, name someone who will EGOT in your lifetime.
Ike Barinholtz.
That's beautiful. Top Gear or Top Model?
Sadly, I have to say Top Gear.
The clear answer is Top Chef.
But Top Model taught us about smizing.
Pop Rocket, smart takes on everything. Catch us every Friday on Maximum Fun.
And now, a Story Break movie trailer.
Anything bad happens, you call me right away.
Relax, Mom. I'm spending the weekend at Dad's. What could possibly go wrong? Dad? Are you crying?
No, I'm not crying. I never cry. And neither can you!
From the minds of three dudes and one woman
becomes a story about toxic masculinity, featuring three dudes and one woman.
That's weird. Who wrote "Don't Cry" all over my mirror in blood?
It was the tearjerker. He killed your crybaby uncle, and now he's coming for you.
Time to suppress my emotions and figure out this mystery.
Ooh, get the fuck out of this house.
I wonder what it's trying to say to me.
Not since The Babadook has a horror movie and a metaphor this rock solid.
Grandpa, it was you the whole time?
That's right. And now I'm gonna kill you, and no one's even gonna cry about it.
This Halloween, experience the most heartwarming nightmare since The Sixth Sense.
Listen, brother, it's okay to cry.
I love you, bro.
How was your week at Dad's, honey?
Well, it
I'm glad you had a good time.
Tearjerker, coming soon to a theater. Theater. Near. You.
That's it. That was it. That's the movie. It's much better than this podcast.
I felt like it was missing something. Like, there was just, like, some sort of, like, there's a little flavor that was just missing from that.
I thought it was pretty great.
You know, we didn't get to hear your fake crying, Matt. Can we try to hear yours?
Just, I wanted to do it, but last night I was shitting and throwing up at the same time. Because I got food poisoning for some reason.
Well, probably because of something you ate.
Well, now our audience is crying because they had to hear about your body problems, yep. Matt.
Sorry, everybody.
So that's going to do it for us this week. Will, I was wondering, just curious, did we get any cool fan art this week, Will?
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. It's that time again. It's time for Will's fan art corner. Here we go. We got two really fun pieces of fan art this week. First of all, thanks to Anastasia for taking the hippo challenge. We now have our second entry in the hippopotamus, can you draw a hippopotamus blind challenge. So she did a really good doodle titled Putting the Pot in Hippopotamus.
Hey,
nice. Cool weed jokes. So thank you to Anastasia. And we also got a poster from potentially Rob for Save the Cast, the new Will Campos screenwriting spinoff podcast without Freddie Wong, featuring no interruptions where people tell me to hurry up when I nerd out about screenwriting. So next week, we will get the solo podcast, Save the Cast.
Thanks as always to MaximumFun.org and Maximum Fun, both the website and the organization, for
special
having us.
Special shout outs to MaximumFunds.edu.gov and .biz.
.gov, seeing you over there, .pizza. For having us on their excellent podcast network, head over to MaximumFun.org for more listening material. It's like a library, except all the books are good.
That's a killer pull quote, yeah. And I think we should just end on that.
Oh, and also thank you to Cameron for cutting together the trailers.
We already got a good cult pull quote. Cam's out. No thanking Cam this episode.
Thanks, Cam.
That's it. The podcast is over. Now we're going to do this thing where we all say this.
Boy.
Shat.
Matt. Goodbye, everyone.
Hey guys, this is Adam Conover. You may know me from my True TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. Well, guess what? Now we're doing a podcast version right here on Maximum Fun. What we do is we take all the interesting, fascinating experts that we talk to for just a couple minutes on the show, and we sit with them for an entire podcast, really going deep and getting into the fascinating details of their work. Find Adam Ruins Everything wherever you get your podcasts or at MaximumFun.org.